Cody, the young man that helped us, the salesman for the parking lot company, he's watching this morning. So everyone look at the camera and say, hi, Cody. Hi. All right. We'll see if he really is watching. And we'll test it out. Okay. All right. Matthew chapter 13. I'm probably going to do a series here. I don't want to overcommit, okay, but I think I'm going to do a series on this passage. We'll see how things go. Matthew 13, we're going to talk about the soils, okay? Today we're going to talk about the wayside. It says in verse 1, the same day went Jesus out. So what day was that? If you look at the preceding chapter, he was teaching, and his mother and his brethren came up desiring to see him while he was teaching, okay? And it doesn't record that he went out there and talked to him. And it seems like after that, he said, you know, who is my mother and my brethren? But he pointed to his disciples and says, those that do the will of my Father, right? And then here he comes over here by the seaside, and he sat down by the seaside. And a great multitude were gathered unto him, so he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. The same day that his parents came, then this multitude gathered, and it seems like the Lord right here is creating distance between himself and people that want to be familiar with him, but they don't want to do his will. You see, at this point, his brethren did not believe on him yet. And how the Lord talks about this crowd to the disciples is very negatively. He said that they don't have anything, and so I'm going to take away even what they have. And you know what? There's a lot of people that want to be familiar with Jesus, but they don't want to do what he wants them to do. And the Lord, he's going to create distance there. But in his mercy, he didn't just row off. He preached a 40-second sermon. And here's what he said. In verse 3, he spake many things to them in parables. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. Now, what is the seed? Look at verse 11. He says this. We'll get to there in a second. He said unto them, they said, why do you speak to them in parables? He said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, and do not neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. You see in verse 13, underline understand. Verse 14, understand. And verse 15, understand. By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So what is a parable? A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. At least that's what my children tell me it is, and I have to believe them. Did they get that from you, Brother Phil? Amen. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But if you're not heavenly minded, you are not going to get it. So, there's enough truth in there that you have to dig and uncover the rest if you're interested. But if you're not interested, you'll just go your way and you'll miss it. The carnal people completely dismissed it and missed it. Here's what they said. What was that all about? I came to see Jesus. He talks for a few seconds about a gardening and some seeds in the sower, and he left. I didn't even learn anything new. I already knew about that. And so they didn't get it. But verse 18, the heavenly-minded people, here's what they get. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Okay, so let's establish a couple things. What is the seed? It's the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. It's the sermon I hear. It's the person that talks to me about the Scripture. Who is the sower? Who's the sower? It's the preacher. It's Jesus. It's the Sunday school teacher. It's anybody that's giving out the pure, unadulterated Word of God. What is the soil? The heart. The soil is my heart. And this is a story about what happens in the human heart when one hears the Word of God. We are, whenever a preacher gets up and preaches the pure Word of God, it's falling on four different kinds of soil. Everyone here is either the wayside, the thorny soil, the rocky soil, or the good soil. And the primary application, I believe, is about salvation. Okay? The good seed goes down there and it springs up into everlasting life, and we know that. But I also believe that there's a broader definition here, and that all these soils are in all of our hearts. If you think about it, if you've ever planted a garden, your garden had different kinds of soil. I dug it up and there was stony soil, there was thorny soil, there was good soil, and there was definitely the wayside, the hard-packed soil where nothing would grow. And when the Bible talks about the bride of Christ in type in the Song of Solomon, he said, a garden is enclosed in my spouse, my beloved. And that's who we are. We are the Lord's garden where He comes and plants our seed. And there are parts of our heart that are represented by all these types of soil. And so, it applies to you. Even though I'm saved, the Word is still being sown in my heart. What is happening right now? The Word is being sown in your hearts. When I listen to preaching, when I read my Bible, when I go about my day and the Lord reminds me of Scripture and His Word, the seed never stops being sown in the soil of your heart. And now here's the important part. What is the soil? It's my heart. Who determines what kind of soil I am? Anyone want to take a wild guess? I determine. Who determines what kind of soil you are this morning? You do. I do. That's very important. What kind of soil are you? You determine it. Now let's pause and get some Scripture here so we know we're not going off track. The Bible says in Joshua 24, He said, put away your strange gods and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. He said it's your responsibility to incline your heart to God. Proverbs 4, a very famous passage, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. He said, guide thine heart. He said, apply thy heart to instruction. Apply thy heart to understanding. He said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Here's a verse, a good one. It says, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. You're supposed to cut away that which hinders the Word of God from affecting your heart. The minister gets up and he gets his seed from the master. He can't make the seed. He has to get it and go to God and get it. And to maintain the soil, you have to cultivate it. You have to decide, and you have to keep deciding what kind of soil you will be. So here's a question. What kind of soil am I? Am I guarding my soil? Am I protecting my soil? Am I taking steps to ensure that I have good soil? Now we're going to talk about the wayside this morning. Because some people here are the wayside. Matter of fact, sometimes I think so many people are on the wayside, we should call it Wayside Chapel. Right? But the wayside, let's make some observations about the wayside. Now, here's a picture to help you kind of understand what it is. So, in the East, in the Israel, in the Middle East, back in that day, they would have a town, Nazareth, or whatever town it was. And beside those towns, there would be these huge tracts of land, okay? They didn't have fences and hedges. Maybe there was some landmark. Maybe there was a small row of stones separating one man's land from another. But across all this land, there were paths that were beaten into it by people walking to and from town and going. And the ones that were used a lot were called in the Bible highways. When the Bible talks about highways, don't think about Interstate 10. You think about a wooden path, a footpath like this, that's beat into the soil. Now, I went on Google Earth, and I went beside the Sea of Galilee and looked at some fields, and this is where I got that image from. Okay? You know what's interesting? If you look at Google Earth over the Middle East and those fields, you can see those ancient footpaths that are crossed and crisscrossed through the field there. So whenever a sower would go like this and sow the seed, he would be throwing the seed out. And if he wanted to use all of his ground up, he would have to cast it very close by the edge, by the path. And inevitably, some of it would fall upon the wayside. And that's how that would happen. It would fall on the wayside. Now, it says, when he sowed, in verse 4, some seed fell by the wayside. And the fowls, you heard about the fowls this morning in Sunday school, the devil and his demons, they came and devoured them. Now, here's number one. Here's some observations we're going to make about the wayside. So we can determine what kind of soil we are. Do you understand what we're doing? Okay, so number one, here's the first observation. The soil was neglected. The soil was neglected. It did not start out that way. If you have wayside soil, hard-packed soil in your heart this morning, it didn't start out that way. When God made the soil, it didn't have a path worn through it. When God made the soil, it was just like all the other soil in the garden. It did not start out that way. It didn't have thousands of people walking carelessly across it. It didn't have animals packing it down. If your heart has become hardened, it's because you've become hardened to the things of God. One day your heart was tender. One day, even if you go back as far as a child, the spiritual truths affected you. And you weren't resistant to them. My wife was talking to one of the neighborhood girls, and little girl, about 5 years old, and she said, "Did you know God made you?" And she said, "God made me?" And she was filled with wonder. And she said, "And God made the tree. He made the tree too. He made me in the tree." She said, "Yes, and you know, God left us an instruction book, and He tells us what to do and what not to do and how we should go about life." She said, "Where is that book?" Do you remember when you were like that? Listen, if you're hardened to the things of God, you know, people come to churches and you know what some of you are doing? You're saying, "I wonder what he's doing up there. He's trying to rip me off and take advantage of me. When are they going to take up an offering?" They think the preacher's always after their grandmother's money, right? And they don't trust him. And they now listen, God didn't make you that way. If you have become that way, it's one of two things. It's your own sin, or it's someone else's sin, and they have put you on guard to spiritual things. But you weren't always that way. You weren't always hard to the things of God. You know what happened? The soil has become hardened. Tell your average adult that God left a book of instructions that tell us what to do and what not to do. They're not going to say, "Where is that book?" They're going to say, "Get away from me with your rules. I'll do whatever I want to do." The Bible says that except you be converted and become as a little child, you won't enter in. They're filled with wonder. They're trusting. They're believing. They're not cynical. God didn't create people that way. It happened over time. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed." You know what that means? The heart didn't start out hard. It became hard. It waxed gross. You know what it means to wax? Move from one state to another. You know what gross means? It means that it became vulgar, it became impure, and it became unrefined. It became something other than how God made it. The Bible says, "I was alive without the law once." Think back to your childhood when you were pure and you were open to the things of God, and then something happened. Your heart has waxed gross. It's become that way. What happened? What affects the heart? What used to affect the heart no longer affects it. There used to be things that grew in the wayside, but no longer do they grow there because it's too hard. The moisture no longer penetrates. It's waxed gross. You know, our parking lot, before we paved it last week, When it rained, you know what would happen? It would turn to mud. But it started raining last week, and every week they weren't supposed to get the parking lot done. They said, it's going to rain, we can't do nothing. And then every day they were able to work. And the last day it starts pouring, so I come running from my house and driving over here through the rain because I wanted to make sure that you're not supposed to lay asphalt in the rain. And they did a marvelous job. They didn't do any of it. And right before the rain started, they had it all laid, and down comes this big shower, and the asphalt was still hot. And as soon as it hit the ground, it turned to steam, evaporated, and disappeared. It no longer turned to mud. It no longer penetrated it. Why? Because it had become hardened, and it was rolled over by all these machines and packed down and hardened down. Is that how your heart is this morning? Does anything penetrate? Does it reach down in there? Does it affect you? Their ears are dull of hearing. Brother Gavino used to work for CPS Energy, and he would talk to me about, he was an engineer helping with they probably still do, burn coal for electricity. And they would grind the coal up, and he said you would go down in there where that coal was being sprayed into the fire and fanned into the fire. And he said the roar of that fire was so deafening. He said, but the people that worked there, they got used to it and they couldn't even hear it anymore. Remember when the things of the Lord used to roar in your ears and ring in your ears, and it used to bother you that maybe you weren't right with God, and now you're like the welder's dog. You can just sleep while the iron's clanging and the welding's going along. It doesn't bother you anymore. You can sleep right next to him as he welds the steel. It didn't start out that way. There used to be fear. Their eyes have they closed. What used to amaze them no longer amazes them. They've closed their eyes. You know, Viktor Frankl, in his book, Man's Search for the Meaning of Life, when he went through Auschwitz, he said, after a couple weeks of Auschwitz, he said, it was not possible for the prisoners to be affected by suffering and death any longer. It was not possible for them to be moved. You could see somebody killed in front of you, beaten in front of you, and it would not emotionally affect you. He said, one time I was sitting there talking to my friend, and since they were starving to death, he said, my friend died. And so I called for the people that bring out the dead, and they took him, and they were so weak, they're trying to drag him outside, and they drag him up the steps, and he said, I heard his head go clunk, clunk on the steps, and they drug him around the back of the building, and there was a window there by his room where he was sitting, and he said, about that time I had a hot bowl of soup in my hand, and he said, I looked up and I looked out the window, and there was my friend I had talked to minutes earlier that was dead, and his eyes were wide, and his mouth was open, and his tongue was hanging out. He was just laying there on the snow looking in the window. And he said, I thought, I have no feeling when it comes to that. And I went back to eating my soup as if nothing had ever happened. And you know what he said, why that happens? Because when there's things happen that bother you and you want to do something about it and you do not or cannot, you eventually become indifferent to it. And you know what happens when the preacher preaches the Word of God and you hear the Word of God and you know what God wants you to do and you do not do it? What used to bother you no longer bothers you, and you become indifferent to the Word of God. Their eyes have they closed. The ears are dull of hearing. It didn't start out that way. It happened because of neglect. Pharaoh's heart was hardened because he didn't act on what God told him to do. If your heart is hardened, you have no one to blame but yourself. He said to Josiah, because your heart was tender when you heard what I would do and you changed things, then I'm going to have mercy on you. Is your heart tender or it's hard? When is the last time the Word of God moved you? Now, do you know what I think sometimes? Oh, I was just an emotional teenager. I just have better control over my emotions now. And then I read in the Bible in Mark 14 where the cock crows and Peter, the strong fisherman, the man of men, He called to word remembrance the words of Jesus, and he wept bitterly. When is the last time you shed tears on your Bible because what God said in there moved you? Has it ever happened? When is the last time you messed up and wept to the Lord? To this man will I look, one that trembles at my words. The ground shakes and trembles when the seed takes hold of it. When is the last time you read the Word of God and it scared the sin out of you? I've seen churches where I've seen Christians get so affected by the Bible and the Word of God that they go home and pour out their booze and get rid of their dope and broke their computers and get right with their wife and start treating their family right because they were moved by the Word of God. When is the last time you heard a sermon and wept and repented and told others about how bad you were and how good God was to forgive you? Three types of soil are inhospitable for the seed. It was trodden down, the fowls devoured it. There are many that didn't come here this morning to get a blessing. You did not intend to worship God or be affected by anything that you would hear. You're like the highway that was never intended to be a cornfield. If a single grain of truth fell on your heart and grew, it would be a miracle. Because your heart is like the wayside. Are you the wayside? Or are you tender? Number one, it was neglected. But number two, the soil was unprotected. It says in Luke 8:5, the same parable, he said, the seed was trodden down. He said, the birds, they came and devoured it. There was no keep off the grass sign. You ever see those signs? There was no polite notice, your dog did his duty, now do yours and scoop the poop. There was no little wire things to keep the birds away. You know, I hope that my words would stay with you, but I cannot hope for some people because the soil of their heart is so beaten by continual traffic. It always has traffic going through it. They're busy. They're busy. There's thousands of ideas and thoughts that are traveling back and forth through their heart, and there's no hope of the seed finding root. There's too much traffic. It gets crushed. They're busybodies, not in the gossip sense. The foot of Satan is always going by with his pack of lies and blasphemies and lusts and vanities. The truck of pride goes rolling along. Your soul is an exchange where the merchants that hunt for the souls of men and make merchandise out of your soul traffic there. You buy and you don't understand and sell and you don't understand that you're selling the truth and you're buying your own soul's demise. You're busy here about this body, the husk of your humanity, but you neglect your soul. You have no time to think of religion. No, the road, the heart is too busy. During the plague of London, I was reading, so many people died that grass grew in the streets because there was no traffic. But you know what you can't do? You cannot plant corn on Fredericksburg Road. No seed. You could ransack the world to find a seed, and you could find the best corn seed in the world, and it would not grow. There's too much traffic. And there's nothing wrong with our seed. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. If it doesn't grow, it's because there's something wrong with the soil. It's packed too hard and by too much traffic and too much busy. In Tennessee, when I was a kid, they made this road and they made this big, they came to this little creek and made this big overpass. We couldn't figure out why they would do that. Why wouldn't they just put a culvert layer like they always do and cover it up and keep going? And they said that some environmentalists came out and they found a little brook smelt that was endangered. And so they had to build this big bridge to take care of this little smelt, which is a little fish thing. And And I made fun of it back then because I'm not an environmentalist, but then when I went down there and I saw the little brook and I saw the smelts smelting along, whatever they do, unbothered, undisturbed by everything that was going on outside, thought, you know what, that's what we should be like. When people come to take our peace away and traffic in our souls, we should say, I don't care how much it costs you. Build yourself a $3 million bridge, but get out of my life. Go away. I need to have some time with God. I dreamed that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. The nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel and stood on the land and the sea and swore with his hand raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. The moral man came to the judgment, but his self-righteous rags did not do. The men who had crucified Jesus passed off as moral men too. The souls that put off salvation, not tonight, I'll get saved by and by. No time now to think of religion. At last they found time to die. When the sower went to sow the seed and saw it laying on the ground, he knew it was unprotected and he knew this, that someone else got there first. Someone else got there first and packed the soil there. You know, it was hard because strangers had trampled through. People that didn't own the soil or care for the soil, they were just passing through and they left their mark, their influence as they went along. There was no sign that said, no trespassers. Trespassers will be shot. There was no sign that says, I don't dial 911 because I have a 1911. They just let people just keep going. It was beaten hard by the influence of people that were not the sower with the seed. You know, so often I go to speak with people and I bring the seed and I try to plant it in their hearts. But you know what the tragedy is? Someone else has been there first. I don't have time for that. I have to work. I just figure, you know, I'll figure it out one day, but right now I'm busy and I'm just... The worldly man went there and trampled it down and he just bought it. Just brought it. Trying to talk to a young man and I told him about the seed and the Lord's claim on him and how he wanted to save him. And it had no effect because someone in public school had told him that billions of years ago there was a big bang and he came from a monkey. So the seed had no effect because someone had been there first. I talked to someone the other day and Ellen White had been there first and fed her some tofu. I talked to someone and Charles Russell and Joseph Smith had been there and Muhammad had been there with his camels trampling through their soul. And there was no way the seed was penetrating. I talked to another person and the Lion King had been there and they were going to be part of the circle of life. And until then it was just Hakuna Matata. Listen, if His Word has no effect on you, it's because someone else has been there first. Some stranger has trampled through the Lord's garden and the Lord's soil. Some serpent has come into the garden and said, "Thou shalt not surely die." Our friends and our family, ask yourself this morning. Who are the people that most frequently pound through the path of my life? What impact do they have on my life? Are they hardening me against God? Is the seed safe? Do they compact and compress my convictions about the Lord and my duty to Him? Or are they turning my sentiment against the influence of the sweet Holy Spirit of God? The Lord comes to you even today to plant His seed. He wants to bear fruit. And He finds a trail has been trodden across my spirit and my soul. Who has been there first? You know, one of my greatest concerns when people get saved is they get good Christian friends. Because they will not do well if they allow the same old crowd to trample through their life and destroy the seed. Befriend the people that come in. Keep the seed safe. The entertainment we watch, Hollywood. You know, I used to watch movies on Saturday night and then I would come to church and rewatch them. In my head. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but some of you have just been thinking about the things that you watched last night. You tuned out, the Word of God and you turned on last night's television. Right? And the seed can't go down. It can't penetrate. There's too much busyness. Hollywood has been there already. And they've packed it down. And the seed can't enter. And I'm not an anti-TV preacher. You know, I stopped watching television and movies 5 years ago. And I thought it would be a sacrifice. Kind of like you think, oh man, I couldn't give that up. It'd be a sacrifice. I was just digging in the garbage. Okay? And you know, I'm not, let me tell you a secret. Anti-TV preachers are just under conviction because they watch too much TV and they're trying to talk themselves out of watching it. You know what I used to think? Oh man, I can't wait till I stop watching. Then I can really preach against it. And then out of sight, out of mind. The downside is I forget to mention it because it has such an effect on people's lives. You know, but once I stopped watching, I stopped thinking about it. Kind of like when I stopped armed robbery. It's the same way. But who's been there? Who's trampling the soil down? The songs that replay in your head over and over instead of the words of the Lord. He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know what that means? He stops talking and it rings in your ear over and over. He said, let these things sink down in your ears. If you hear this sermon this morning, it won't be that you come and cry and to go to the altar. You'll be thinking about it all week. And it'll do something in your heart. Who's protecting your soil? Or are you just letting people trample through? And lastly, number three, not only was the soil unprotected, but I like this because it rhymes, it was unaffected. It was unaffected. Here's the test. How do I know if I'm wayside soil? How do you know? The seed has no effect. You can't tell that it was ever there. There's no change that takes place in the... You know what happens when the seed goes down in the soil? It breaks up the soil. It softens the soil. It changes the soil. It affects the soil. He said this in verse 14. He said in verse 13, seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Remember the word understand. Verse 14, unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Verse 15, the people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed. Why? Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts. And then what happens if you do that? And should be converted and I should heal them. The wayside soil doesn't understand. The wayside soil doesn't see. Just some story about a garden that has nothing to do with me. They don't understand and they're not converted. It doesn't change them. They didn't want the truth. They didn't want to change. They didn't want to be healed because they didn't think they were sick. And listen, once you understand what Jesus did for you, and once you understand how evil and wicked you are, and once you understand what will happen to you without Christ, that you will go to a hell and burn forever, once you really understand that, you will get saved. But you know why people don't get converted? They don't understand. They didn't want to change. You know why God wants to convert you? So He can use your power for His glory. You know what? Have anyone ever seen a solar panel? Okay? You know what a solar panel does? It converts the sun's energy to electricity for the panel maker. Seen a hydroelectric dam? It converts the gravity and the force of the water into energy for the people. You know what God does? He converts us for His glory so He can use us. But He has to change us. And that change happens through understanding. You know what the mark of a wayside Christian is? How was church? Oh, it was good. What did he preach about? I don't know. Something about soil. It's really complicated. Hey, what are you going to eat? Let's watch this movie. They don't understand, and they don't seek to understand. Listen, understanding changes you even in this world. In this world, it changes you. When I was a child, my dad was a mechanic. He had car parts laying around. And remember in the old cars where they had the cigarette lighters where you push them in? So he had one of these laying around, and there was a battery there, and it's 12 volts. And I'm like, well, let me see if I can get it to work without the car. So I wired it to the battery, hot to hot and negative to negative, and I pressed it in. And it was bright and sunny that day, and when I pulled it out, I didn't see it glowing. So I wanted to see if it was hot. And I pressed my thumb down, and I heard it sizzle. And to this day, that is the worst pain that I've ever felt. But you know what that did? It gave me an understanding about how cigarette lighters and batteries work. And I have never done that again because I understood. And when you understand the significance of spiritual laws, it changes you as well. You know that? I went to Sam's, and we need new furniture because before the pandemic, they had brush pickup, and our furniture was terrible. So I said, we'll just go take it out there, and we'll get new furniture. And then the pandemic happened, and all the furniture shut down. And then when it opened back up, they're all gone. So we're not going to get couches till September 22nd. So we have been sitting on bean bags and camping chairs, and my wife's pregnant, and it's not working out well. So I went to Sam's and got some recliners, okay? Two of them. They were $2.99. And I went and paid for it, and the church has a Sam's Club membership, and I used that. And on my way back, I looked at the receipt, and it said tax-exempt purchase. Now, this is a personal purchase. It's not tax-exempt, right? And I said, oh, no. What am I going to do now? This is bothering me. I can't think about my sermon. What am I going to do? And obviously, I have to go back and fix it. So I go back, and I take the receipt to the lady. And she said, well, there's nothing. Don't worry about it. I'm like, no. No. You don't understand. You can't give me a pass. I'm not accountable to you. I'm accountable to God. I need this fixed. And so they went and did the exchange, and I paid $60. And I looked at that and I said, $60 is a small price to pay for a clean conscience. $60 is a small price to pay not to stand before God. Would you rather have $60 or stand before God and give account for that? I would rather not have the $60. And when you start getting close to the Lord and these truths, you know what they will? They will transform you. And they will change you when you receive understanding. You know why the soil was not affected? It didn't understand. You know, there are people that come to church, and the hearing of sermons does them no good. They're rarely absent from the Lord's house. But the sparks of the gospel fall into an empty soul like they were dropped into an ocean. The law can be thundered at them. They don't sneer at it, but they're unaffected at it. Jesus Christ can be held up. You can be seen His wounds. The blood can flow past your eyes. You can be beseeched and begged to turn to Christ. Look and live, my brother, live. And you yawn and you're completely indifferent. It's a good word. And when it falls on the heart, it doesn't grow because it was the wrong soil. Why do men keep coming? That's a puzzling thing. There's so many people that want to come to church and they seem happy to come and worship, but there's no tear that ever trickles down their eye. Their soul never mounts up to heaven on the wings of praise. They never join in the repentance of sin. You never find them broken at the altar. The heart is iron. You might as well preach to a heap of stones. You know what the preacher's like? He's like a man with a very, very expensive violin, but he's playing to a statue. Because it's the wayside. Your case is one that would make an angel weep. We have more hope of converting lions and leopards than you. The music of heaven sounds sweetly, but your ears are deaf. They went away unaffected. They said something like this. There was a great crowd there, and they went home, and the neighbor came out and said, "Hey, we heard you went to hear that sensational preacher. We heard you went to hear Jesus. You went down to the sea and heard him. Tell me about it." "Ah, we went there, and he rowed out in a boat. And for 40 seconds, he talked about some seeds. It was really underwhelming. It was anticlimactic. And I don't know what the big deal about Jesus is anyway. He was kind of rude. I came all the way to see him, and he rowed out in a boat and said something for 40 seconds as he left." You know what some of you will say? "How was it?" "Yeah. Nothing I haven't heard before. No, I didn't learn anything." What'd you learn? Nothing. "I've heard 1,000 sermons on that. It meant nothing." But if the seed takes root, it changes the soil. What would I have to say? Any soil can be amended. Any soil can be amended. Any soil can be fixed. It can be softened. The Bible says, "Break up your fallow ground." You know what the Bible says? It says this: "Godly sorrow worketh repentance." And you know what people do all the time? They argue about what repentance is. But you don't even need to argue about repentance and what it is, because if you understand what brings about repentance, then you don't even need to worry about arguing about it. And you know what brings about repentance? Godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. Think about the times in your lives and the sins that you've overcome. You know what I find in my life? That when I am faced with the repugnance of my sin and how terrible it is, and I start weeping, and I say, "What a monster am I? How terrible am I?" I don't have the same problem with those sins that I do with the other ones where that hasn't happened. Imagine that you are backing out of your driveway. Okay? You imagine, are you in the car? Think about your car, backing out of the driveway, and you hear thump, thump, and you get out, and you backed over your child or your nephew or little child, and you look at him, and your emotional response would be, "Oh, I cannot believe I did this. I cannot believe that I wasn't paying attention. I would give anything for this not to have happened. I will never again back out without paying attention. Oh, God, help me." And you would scream. Tears would pour down your face. You couldn't believe what you did. And when you can look at your sin that way, instead of the way that you look at it, that sin might become exceeding sinful. When you can look at it how God looks at it, and it's horror and it's filth, and you can find out it was so bad that it nailed my Savior to the cross. I did that. The repentance will take care of itself. The wayside soil will break up, and it will be on its way to being amended to be good soil. So if we can bow our heads and close our eyes, and the piano player is going to come. Let these sayings sink down into your ears. Think about it. What kind of soil am I? What kind of soil am I? Is there any effect? When's the last time the Word of God moved you? Who's trampling through your life? Is your soil neglected? When's the last time you amended it? Is it unprotected? You letting anything come through? Allow the Word of God to affect you. Lord, we thank you so much, Father, for your word, the seed. We thank you for this admonition. And we thank you, Father, that we don't have to have corners of our heart that remain the wayside. We can break them up. We can amend them. We can allow your word to penetrate them, Father. And Father, please allow your word to penetrate deeply into the hearts of the people, and the moisture to take it down, and the soil to be softened. Father, work on our hearts. In Jesus' name.